Testing.
Oh.
Yeah, I showed it to you. It's born again. I told you we need it. You got it?
All right, good. We're all set. Amen. Amen. First one. I threw a lot of people off with this. Don't play yet. I threw a lot of people, you know, figured we just better go with it. So anyway, am I kind of ringing? Is this okay? Too loud? I don't know. All right. Might want. All right. Move right along. It's foolish what I'm going to say. I'm not ashamed, no, not ashamed. One day I pray, Jesus, take my sin away. And that's when I was born again. Born again, there's really been a change in me. Born again, just like Jesus. Born again, all because of Calvary. I'm glad, so glad that I've been born again. One man came to Jesus, John in chapter 3. And so afraid, oh, so afraid. Master, you're from God, I really do believe. And Jesus said, be born again. Born again, there's really been a change in me. Born again, just like Jesus said. Born again, all because of Calvary. I'm glad, so glad that I've been born again. I'm glad, so glad that I've been born again. All right, here. Had a lot going on here, so take your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter 8, and Cody's going to come read the scripture for us.
Genesis chapter 8, verses 6 through 12. Let's stand to our feet. Genesis 8, verses 6 through 12, we'll read responsibly. And it came to pass, at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made. And he sent forth the raven, which went forth until the waters were dried up from all. Also he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were adept from off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned unto him and the ark, and the waters were from the face of the whole earth. Then it turned up her first feet, and took her into the ark. And he stayed yet another 7 days, and again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came unto him in the evening, and lo, her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So no one knew that the waters were there. And he stayed yet other 7 days, and sent forth the dove, which returned not again unto him anymore. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you, Lord God, all that you've done today, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for all that you're going to do, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that you bless the preaching, Lord, and bless this time. In your name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, Cody. You may be seated.
It'll be very simple, very practical. Tonight, basically going to just give you a thought, or my whole message will be kind of surrounded one thought here in just a moment.
I'm going to preach on the subject, God, are you there? God, are you there? Have you ever come to the point, and let me just say this, I know I have, but you ever come to the point where you wonder and maybe even ask God, are you there? God, are you really, really there? Perhaps maybe right now some of you feel that way. Maybe right now you feel like, you know, I'm here just by the skin of my teeth, or I just barely made it. Maybe your flesh was trying to push you away from coming, or whatever the case may be. But some of you may be here tonight, and you just wonder, man, the path that I'm trodden, the place, the race that I'm running, so to speak, I just wonder, does God even care? Does God even care about this place that I'm in and the position that I'm in the ark, as we'll get to in just a moment, that I'm in? You may ask, where are you, God? Maybe you feel overwhelmed by some of the busyness of life. Maybe some burden that you're bearing, or some heartache, you just kind of get to that point, God, I just need to know if you're there. I think we're going to see that in the life of Noah here as we go. Very, very familiar passage, very, very familiar story. But I think Noah kind of got to that point here about 300 and some odd days on that ark and into that ark. You think about all the surroundings and different things. I know that Noah being a man just like us, having the same emotions, having the same maybe anxiousness to some degree. Yes, he was a man that was righteous. Yes, he was a man called by God to do a specific duty. But you know, I can't help but wonder about, I think they were in that ark about 370 plus days. I can't help but think that maybe towards the end of that trip, or maybe even just a few weeks into that trip, if he was kind of wondering, God, what am I doing here? God, I don't quite understand this. And just like some of us here tonight, we may see, may kind of think, God, are you really here? Are you really seeing where I am? Do you see the position that I'm in? Maybe some unforeseen pressure causes you to ask, God, are you here? Maybe some heartaches cause one to ask, God, are you there? Maybe you're in a financial crisis which causes you to ask, God, are you there? Do you understand my checkbook? Do you understand my bills? Do you understand that there's been more month than money? Maybe there's some sin in your life, some unconfessed sin in your life that causes a division. I mean, don't expect God to bless you if you've got some sin in your life and you're not willing to go ahead and deal with it and confess it. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, okay? And the truth of the matter is that's what we ought to be doing. We ought to be confessing. I got to take this off. I'm sorry. It's a little bit warm. All right, but maybe there's some sin in your life that's causing you to feel like you're kind of out in left field somewhere, wondering, God, I'm over here. Whatever it is, it might be a heartache, it might be a trial, it might be sin, and you might be there tonight. Boy, God looked down upon a man, Noah. He was a righteous man, the Bible says. The Bible also says he was perfect in his generations. He was mature, or he was an upright man. He was a sincere man. He was honest in all his ways. He was a man in Genesis chapter 6, verse 9, the Bible says that he was also a man who walked with God. The qualities of this man was immaculate, if you will. God looked down, and through all the wickedness, the Bible says that God saw the wickedness of this earth, and he said that it grieved him. He repented. He had a change of mind that he even created man. That's what the scripture says. It says in Genesis 6:6. Let's read that verse. You know, he saw the condition of mankind, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. You know what? Literally, he was sorry that he created man. He wanted to change his mind. He wishes he could just go ahead and wipe it all away, start over, or not even bother. You know, that word grieve there in that verse, it grieved him, if you will. Let me just read that scripture again. It repented, and then it grieved him at his heart. It literally means that word grieve literally means that his heart was cut. His heart was crushed, if you will, that mankind would go ahead and treat a holy God like they are. Of course, God has a plan. He's going to destroy the earth. He says, I'm tired of it. I'm tired of the sick, sin sickness. I'm tired of the stuff that's going on down there on my creation. But he found a man. He found a man, Noah. He found a righteous man. He went to that righteous man and said, I'm going to go ahead and wipe away all of mankind, and I'm going to go ahead and have it rain for 40 days and 40 nights. This is how we're going to do it. Noah, you're going to build an ark. And now think about this just for a moment now. Now, Noah being a just man, Noah being a righteous man, okay, obviously the Bible says he did all in the passage here. He did all that the Lord had him to do. He obeyed the Lord. But I can't help but think that Noah began to start wondering here a little bit. God, are you sure? You think about this. Rain wasn't even in their vocabulary. They didn't know what rain was. Flood? What's that? God, you're going to go ahead. Now, again, I make the Bible come alive here a little bit. But I can't help but think, you know, Noah said, Lord, you're going to go ahead because you're sick of mankind. And you chose me and my family. And you're going to go ahead and you're going to wipe this world away with water, with rain? Yeah. Okay. But you're going to flood the earth? 40 days and 40 nights you're going to... Yeah, it's going to go ahead and rain. I mean, think about this. Think about that. Noah's never seen rain before. Yet, that's what was going to happen. You know, I can't help but think the emotions that Noah was going through. I can't help but think of maybe the sense of responsibility. Man, we're going to be the only 8 people alive. God's going to go ahead and wipe this world out, and I'm going to go ahead and build this ark and all the dimensions there and so forth. We know the story. I'm going to go ahead and build this ark. You know, the people already think I'm nuts, but they're going to think I'm really nuts when I go ahead and tell them what this ark's all about. You know what? But the Bible says he went ahead and kept preaching. He kept on living right. I thank God for the testimony of a Noah. Boy, how we need that today, desperately in this wicked, wicked world that we live in. But I thank God for his testimony. But you know what? Even when the chips were down, even when he didn't totally understand, he says, okay, God, I'll do it. Because he did all that God had asked him to do. That's what the scripture says. I can't help but think, though, he must have been bewildered. I can't help but think maybe the emotions. I wonder what his heart was thinking, if you will. What am I going to tell my wife? Think about it. This is God's will for Noah. Okay? And the truth of the matter is, if it's God's will for the man of God in that home, it's God's will for the wife. It's God's will for the family. You know, and I just got thinking, how in the world was Noah going to go ahead and get his wife to buy into the vision that God had for him? I just got thinking about it. No, it doesn't give all the conversation here, but you know his wife got to say, what? Wait, Noah, have you flipped your lid? Think about it just a little bit with me. He got his family together and no doubt had to tell him, hey, honey, guess what? We're going on a cruise. You know, and I know some of you, you know, you're being too facetious, but you know what I'm talking about here. You know what? For him to go ahead and try to sell that vision, so to speak, and try to get his family to buy into that vision. Honey, I know you're not going to understand this. Kids' wives, I know you're not going to understand this, but this is what God wants us to do. Now, obviously, and I don't see anywhere that there was any friction there, but, you know, let me just stop and say this about our home. Sometimes wives is kind of in a tough position when God does some dealings in your husband's life. And by the way, that's a good thing. When God goes ahead and reveals to your husband about certain things that he wants him to do, when different, whatever the case may be, you know what? You got to understand he's the man of God of that home, and you need to go ahead and follow him. Amen. You need to go ahead instead of sitting there and, you know, well, no, that ain't going to work. You know, that ain't gonna, you can't do that. You can't drive that bus. You can't do this. No. You buy into that vision. You say, you know what, honey? If you believe you can do it, I'm going to stand behind you all the way. Well, that's what we need today. I thank God when I moved here, you know, when I moved here quite a while ago now, 3 years almost, 2-3 years, something like that. But when I moved here, you know what? I knew, and I thought, man, this is going to be it was going to be a big mountain. I thought that all I could think about was maybe a little bit of turmoil and maybe trying to answer all the questions and all I could think about is really trying to get my family to buy into this vision that God had for me. And, you know, I just want to say this, and I'm just testifying a little bit. I thank God that, boy, the transition from Maine, where we served for 10 years, and I was a youth pastor for 10 years, and a bus pastor, and in a bigger ministry, if you will, at that time, and different things like that. And I thank God for what I had up there, and it was my home and everything. And in Maine, that was our stomping grounds. Our families lived up there. But I thank God. I just want to say this. I thank God that my family bought into the vision enough not to go ahead and do this with their dad and their husband. I thank God for that. And I, well, you know what else I also think? I thank God that we have a church that really helped the transition out a whole lot. But you know, I can't help but think maybe Noah's wife. Are you sure about this, Noah? I can't help but maybe she might have questioned him a little bit. I can't help but maybe think maybe the children question a little bit. Maybe the neighbors definitely question, hey, Noah, what are you building? I'm building an ark. Think about it. Ark? Well, what's it for? Well, you're going to be surprised here in a few days. No, but you know, but think of the adversity that Noah must have felt. You know, as a Christian, we face adversity. You know what, when you go ahead and you take a stand for Christ, when you go ahead and you're sold out for God and you're going to live for God, let me tell you something, you'll face adversity. And the truth of the matter is, you know what we need today? We need people that will go ahead and put on the whole armor of God and, having done all to stand. When the winds of wickedness blows, when people try to tempt you and try to lure you away from the will of God, you know what we need people? We need mamas and daddies who will go ahead and stand. We need children that will go ahead and stand with their mamas and daddies. We need children. We need teenagers that whatever the call of God may be on their life, hey, I'll go ahead and do it. We need teens who will go ahead and stand for God. We need Christians who will go ahead and have a stand for Christ. You know, Noah went ahead and stood for God. I can just well imagine the comments that he got. I can imagine the mockery he got. There's crazy Noah again. You know, he's out there preaching his Bible and so forth and so on. And by the way, that's why God went ahead and saved his family, because he was living right. Hey, you know what? It might be we face some adversity. It might be we face some sickness. It might be that we may face even death. You know why? Because we're out of whack with God. God's not going to put up with it. You know, there might be some sin, listen to me, there might be some sin in your life tonight, and you know the Holy Spirit's been working on you, he's been trying to weed it out of you, he's been trying to cut it away, he's been trying to purge you, but the truth of the matter is, let me tell you something, he's only going to go ahead and try to do that for so long before he runs off somebody else. And you know what, and let me just stop and say this, it may be that he'll just say, you know what, if you can't behave down there, I'm going to bring you up here where I can take care of you. I don't know about you, but listen to me. I don't know about you, but I want to go ahead and I want to, I like life. I love life. I love living for God. I love preaching. I love doing what I do. And you know, I'm not looking to take the next boat. I'm not looking to take the next trip, if you will, to heaven. And the truth of the matter is, you know what? If I get out of whack with God, I don't blame him for saying, if you can't go ahead and behave, I'm just going to take you up here where I can watch you. Hey, listen to me, but you know what? We need some boys and girls. We need teenagers who go ahead and take a stand. We need some righteous men who love God like a Noah and preach regardless of what people may think. We need people who just go ahead and take a stand on the job, stand everywhere you go, stand in the restaurant. You know what? You might be, people might think you're a little bit crazy. People might think that you're a little bit weird, if you will. But our lifestyle as Christians is not to reflect the world, but testify of the almighty grace of God. Every day, I can just imagine every day, you know what, through them, that period of time where he was building the ark and he was still preaching and he was still testifying for the Lord, I can just well imagine, I can't help but think maybe there's got to be times that he's just, what am I doing? You know, the mockery? No, put yourself in his shoes. I'm just asking you tonight, as we're just going through a little bit of thought here, put yourself in Noah's shoes. You might be able to put yourself right there right now. You go to work and you hear wicked language and see different things and people taking the Lord's name in vain, and it's all the way around you. And people may make fun of you because you read your Bible. People may make fun of you because you're clean cut and you're modest and you want to live for God. People may make fun of you because you get up on a Sunday morning, you get your kids ready for church, you show up to church, you sit there in church, you listen to the preacher, you amen the preaching. People may make fun of you because you ride a bus or drive a bus. People may make fun of you because you're serving the Lord. People may make fun on you because of what you're doing. And what I'm trying to say, you know what? It's not for us to go ahead and live the kind of lifestyle that the world does. Hey, we ought to be living a life that reflects Christ. Amen? Amen. On the job, people ought to see Jesus in you. Boy, Noah, you know what? Irregardless, he was a righteous man. He was a just man. He was perfect in his generations. And he was a man that walked with God. And it's no doubt that everybody around him said, you know what? He's a crazy man. But you know what? He sticks to his convictions. Boy, that's what we need. We need young people to stick to their convictions. Called to preach. Called to the ministry. Call to whatever. You make some holy, let me just talk to you teenagers for just a moment. You make some holy decision before God somewhere, and he impressed upon you to go ahead and do something big for him. You know what? God, if he impressed upon you to go ahead and do something for him, he means it. He means it. He's not looking, you know what? He's not looking for you to go ahead and bail out on God because bail out on his perfect will. It might be preaching. It might be pastoring a church somewhere. It might be a missionary. It might be a youth pastor. It might be, who knows what it is. It might be just being a Christian layman. Who knows what it is. But the truth of the matter is, teenagers, we're not looking. We don't need bailouts on God tonight. We need people who just go ahead and jump in and say, I'll go ahead and run with whatever God has for me. Whatsoever my hand finds to do, do it with thy might. That's what we need, teens. We got a lot of young people here tonight. You keep on keeping that vision for the Lord Jesus Christ. You keep on being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. You keep on following the leading of the Holy Spirit. You know, if God went ahead and called you to do something, do it. We're not looking for bailouts. He's not looking for people to go ahead and bail out on him. We need people who just simply jump in. Moms and dads, encourage your kids. Encourage them. Encourage them to be in church. Encourage them to be in youth group. Boy, moms and dads, you do everything you can. You know, I get excited when teens want to be around the church house. When children want to be around the church house. You know what? That doesn't happen by accident. If we didn't have a vision that way, if we didn't have a focus that way, if we didn't have a desire for our young people to grow up and be clean and pure and be just decent citizens and just simply follow whatever it is that God wants them to do, let me tell you something. It just doesn't happen by accident. It happens because there's a man that has a vision. There's a mama and daddy that has a vision. There's a mama and daddy that bought into the vision of the preacher. I said, you know what? Hey, you know, the preacher believes in our young people. The preacher believes in soul winning. The preacher believes in this. You know what? Hey, I mentioned a moment ago, you know, you wives, when your husbands go ahead and God does something in their life and reveals some big things in your life, you buy into that vision with them. Now, let me just stop and say this. It's hard for me because I'm the preacher. But you know what? God will reveal some things to this preacher that we need to get done here at Faith Baptist Church. He will. Sometimes it seems big. Now, I'm thinking of the spring program. I mean, I want this thing to be happening. I do. You know what? And I just want to simply encourage you, be a soul winner. I want to simply encourage you, be an encourager. Boy, we're working on getting stuff together for by the program to work on this Barnabas ministry and be an encourager. I want you to roll up your sleeves, be thinking of somebody right now that you can bring to church. I want you to roll up your sleeves and just be a part. Get out door knocking and just get involved. It's not that I'm trying to push you in there. If you stand on the sidelines, that's fine. I'm going to love you. I'm going to cheer you on. But boy, I want to encourage you. Just jump in and buy into the vision of soul winning and buy into the vision of the old time way and the King James Bible, and just buy into the vision to the right music. Just buy into the vision of what God has for Faith Baptist Church. Listen to me, I'm not perfect. And you can say amen to that. Don't. Some of your little hearts said, amen. I'm not perfect. I'm not saying I'm God either. But for some strange reason, God placed me here as pastor. For some reason, he put me here as Faith Baptist Church, as pastor. The Bible teaches that I'm the bishop. I am to be the overseer. I'm, in other words, be the administrator. And sometimes God's going to go ahead and lay some things on my heart that might seem, I don't know if this can happen. Sometimes we don't know if it will happen. But you know what? With God, all things are possible. You know what? You may think that, that bus, man, I don't know if that bus, man, it just, you know, up, down, up, down, up, down. You just keep on doing it. You keep on loving them kids. You ask the Lord throughout the week to go ahead and soften your heart, to maybe encourage you, you know, go out and knock on some new doors and get some new blood on that bus route. Boy, the Lord's speaking to me about that. You know, today I tanked. Well, I was just, I was up there and I wanted to have a bad attitude. I kind of did. My bus route just tanked. It just, But the Lord just kind of revealed to me, hey, Sean, you know what? You need to kind of get going a little bit more. You need to just keep on keeping on. Listen, I'm getting way off here, but listen, you know what? Let's be focused upon the will of God. You know when God called me to preach? Going to full-time Christian service, I got thinking, God, you sure you got the right number? You want me to be a preacher? God, are you sure? You want me to serve you full-time? Yeah, now, God, you know, you must mean him. That's what you don't mean me. No. God went ahead and said, no, Sean, you. And you know what? All I'm supposed to do when he goes ahead and he lays that upon my heart is not question him. Not saying, God, no. Not start thinking about another career or the military or some other professional. God, if that's what you want me to do, I'll do everything I can to fulfill it. Hey, listen to me. You know what? We need people that are just getting the will of God. Jump in. Noah must have felt this is some kind of different idea, God. God, I'm going to trust you and follow you, but regardless of the criticism and regardless of being made fun of. By the way, when I was called to preach, and this is part of what I want to say, when I was called to preach, I was criticized. I was a teenager. And you know who I was criticized by? I was criticized by kids in my Christian school. That's pretty sad. But you know what? I had to come to a point where it's either them or it's him. Noah, again, just, I'm thinking of a lot of different things here. Boy, this whole story just fascinates me. His wife trying to get sold on this idea. His kids trying to get sold on this idea. We're going to build an ark. We're going to go ahead and be floating around who knows where for however many days. You know, and then he's to go ahead and keep on preaching as he's building the ark and keep on serving the Lord. And all the while he gets mocked and all the while he gets criticized. And I can't help but think that Noah must have come sometimes to a point of decision. I don't get this. I don't understand it. I asked the Lord, you know what? He called me to preach. I don't quite understand. I don't know why you want me to be a preacher. I don't quite get it. Some of you are quite saying the same. I don't know why either. But, you know, I don't quite get it. You know what? And Noah, I can't help but think that maybe he had to come to a point of God or the world. You know what? When it comes time, when it comes right down to doing the will of God, young person, I'm talking to young people right now for a moment. When it comes right down to doing the perfect will of God in your life, you know what? You're going to be making a decision. God or the world? God or money? You can't serve God and mammon, by the way. You will be criticized if you want to take the high road and serve the Lord. You know, he gets on the boat, he loads the animals, we know that story, and I want to keep moving. Starts to rain, God said it would. So far, so good. As the waters rise, you know, the cruise begins. They set sail. Where? They really didn't know. I can imagine maybe the wife is kind of wondering, you know, so Noah, where are we going? Well, dear, God knows. Sometimes that only flies so far. But, you know, I think of the emotions. I think of them being human just like us. You know, thinking, where are we going with this? Weeks become months. As I mentioned earlier, about 370 plus days they were on that boat. Think of all the animals and think of 8 human beings on a boat. Floating around. You know, probably after about, I'd say maybe a month, the smell of that fresh gopher wood kind of begins to go away. You know what I'm talking about? Probably about maybe after a month, you know, it might seem a little, this is pretty cool. Never seen water before, but look at this. Big sea. I mean, you know, I think it had been cool for a little bit. But about the time that you had to go ahead and clean out them stalls every day, and who knows where it all went. I have no clue. But you think about the fact that the work and the stench and all that different stuff. You think about, you just think about maybe the close quarters. After about a month, I'd be wanting to get up on deck. And I don't know whether it was built with a deck or whatever, but I'd be wanting to get out. You know, I know there was a little window. Just get some fresh air. I don't know about you. I got to be careful here, but I'm not sure if my wife would really call that a glamorous cruise. I'm not sure your wife would either. But you know, as time goes by, and I want to get right to it, the stench, the cleaning up after the animals, the wife and family asking, when is this going to end? Maybe Noah asking God, you know, I'm trusting it by faith, God, but when is this going to end? I don't quite get it, you know, here, Lord. They probably want some normal back. Why? Where are we going on this ark? Maybe the thoughts of why did God do this to us? Sometimes we're put in circumstances and some trials, if you will. And I'm chatting with you a little bit here, but maybe you're put in some circumstances and, you know, if you're not careful, you can start blaming God pretty quick. This just doesn't seem fair. This just doesn't seem right, God. Why this? Why that? Why am I on this ark? Why am I here, God? Why am I on this ark of my life? And we're just kind of sailing anywhere, and we don't seem to have any direction. God, I don't quite understand. I just don't get it. I want some normal back. Maybe the thoughts of, why, God? You spend these months cooped up like this, and the smell, and the hard labor. Sometimes you fail to see the goodness of God. You know what? If they weren't careful, and I don't know all the conversation there, but you know what? If they weren't careful, they could fail to see that God went ahead and saved them from this massive flood. That's the goodness of God. You know what, Noah? You could have perished with the rest of the world, but because of your righteousness, because of your love for the Lord, because of your walk with God, I'm going to go ahead and choose you. I'm going to go ahead and use you. I'm going to go ahead and take your family, and you're going to replenish the earth. You don't understand it right now. Let me tell you something. You might be at that point. God, are you there? You may not totally understand it right now, but you keep on trusting God anyways. You keep on doing what's right. You keep on serving Him. You keep on being faithful to Him. Because let me tell you, you may not understand it, but let me tell you something. There may be a little child or a little teenager underneath your mama and daddy that needs you to be the rock of Gibraltar for them. They don't need to see you wavering upon whether you go to church or not. They don't need to see you wavering whether you believe the Bible or not. They don't need to see you wavering about whether you want to go ahead and serve the Lord, because you're in all these tough, you're in that arc of your life and you just don't know where you're going. Now, maybe Noah asked God, are you there? As the rain ceased, waters abated, maybe there was a little bit of sigh of relief. Okay. All right, things are beginning to happen here. The rain stopped. Bible says that Noah, after the rain stopped, sent out a raven. Bible also says that the raven never showed back up. Later on, again, we know the story, sent out a dove. The dove came back empty. You know, why did Noah send out the dove and the raven? He just wanted to know, is there something going to happen here? I mean, is there something? Is there going to be sign of life? Is this ever going to end? The Bible says that he sends out, Genesis 8:11, Noah sends out the dove again the second time. The dove returns, that second time returns with an olive leaf. You know, I just brought this. This isn't an olive leaf. I know that. But you know, all the while, maybe you're wondering, you're in that circumstance right now. This is the heart of the message, and then I'll be through in just a moment. But all the while, you may be on that arc of your life just wondering, God, what's going on here? God, my wife's just not, my family's just not quite understanding this. And, you know, I'm the man of God. I'm the husband of the home. I'm the leader of the home. I've got to stand strong. I've got to be the leader here. But God, I need some relief here. God, the pressure just seems a little bit too much. God, I really, and Noah being the righteous man and a man that walked with God like he did, I can guarantee you, he's probably in the corner of that ark somewhere saying, God, I need something here. I need some relief. Maybe here tonight, I need some relief from the finances. God, I need some relief from the car troubles. I need some relief from the heartaches. I need some relief from this or that, whatever the case may be. God, I just need some relief. God, I gotta just know that you're there. The raven never comes back. The dove comes back empty. But just about the time is maybe you feel like you're ready to give up. And I'm not indicating that he was ready to give up. He was already there. What was he going to do? But just about the time you may feel like God goes ahead and gives you an olive leaf. Shows up with a dove, so to speak, and gives you an olive leaf. Finance is a little bit tough, and you go out to your mail and you find a nice check in the mail, olive leaf. Someone comes by and says, hey, I want to take your broken down car, and comes back and it's all fixed. What's that? An olive leaf. Someone comes up to you at the very lowest, maybe some of the lowest times of your life, and just kind of, you just need a little bit, and they give you a word of encouragement. Hey, I just want you to know I'm praying. What is that? An olive leaf. Just about the time that you feel like you're ready to go ahead and give up, you know, God gives you an olive leaf. 1 Corinthians 10:13, the Bible says, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. You know, in a nutshell, you know what that verse is saying? God will never give you more than you can handle. You know what? I know that sometimes you got all the weight, you got all the pressure. Bible says that God resisteth the proud. But you know what? He'll give grace to the humble. Bible says that he resists the proud. Bible also, God, Paul, to Paul, he says, my grace is sufficient. I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'm a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You know what? In other words, because he's that kind of friend, because he loves you, because he's given, God has literally given his all to you. He gave his only son to you. He gave you eternal life. Boy, you know what? If you're not careful, you get in that battle, you get in that arc of life, and you feel like everything's closing in on you. You feel like all the pressure of the world, and you say, God, I'm tired of this. I don't know when this is going to end. But you know what? Instead of going ahead and saying, I'm tired, think back. Stop and think a little bit and say, you know, listen, Sean, I saved you from hell. I saved you from hell. Boy, you ought to be happy tonight. You ought to be excited. You know what? You might be under the pressure. You might feel like I'm just about ready to fall. But let me tell you something. You sit back and you think about the fact that he's given you a church. He's given you a pastor. He's given you a Bible. He's given you salvation. Boy, that's a whole lot of things that he's given you. There's a whole lot of wonderful, wonderful gifts that he's given you. No doubt you came from some roof over your head. Tonight you're here, thank God, with clothes on your back. Thank you very much. But listen to me. But I know, and I'm not going to go ahead and make light of the struggles. But just about that time where you feel like, I can't take this anymore. God, he shows up with an olive leaf. You know that verse, 1 Corinthians 10:13. He'll never give you more than you can handle. A few thoughts on God, are you there? God will never give you more than you can handle. Number one, God chooses the right people for the right task. Noah was the right man. You know, what I mean by that is, give you more than you can handle. Some can handle the caliber of a flood. You know, some of you, you can handle the caliber of the flood, and it doesn't matter what kind of weight that you're under. Listen to me, it doesn't matter. Some can handle that. And God will give you go ahead and give you the grace that you need. But some can't handle that. Some can only handle some of these little things, if you will. I'm saying God's not going to go ahead and just dump a whole load of things on you. You know, God wants you to succeed. He wants you to go ahead and make it. You know, sometimes we'll go ahead and blame God. If we're not careful, we'll go ahead and blame God on all these little battles. And it may seem like a big flood to you. And you say, well, preacher, you know, I feel like I'm in this flood now. You say there might be different levels of here. What I'm saying, God's not going to give you more than he knows where you are. He's going to give you the strength to go ahead and overcome it. He'll give you that olive leaf. He won't go ahead and leave you comfortless. Some will go ahead and think that God doesn't understand. God just don't want me to fail. No, he doesn't want you to fail. You know, it might be that he's put you in that battle, or you might be in that battle because he's just looking for you to trust him. He's just looking for you to go ahead and just reach out to him and say, God, I need you. It might be that he just is trying to get you, Christian, to recognize him again. You know, what do you mean by that? I'm talking about people that you once had that sweet fellowship with God. You once had that walk with God. You once had that sweet fellowship, but you haven't gone ahead and entered that closet. You haven't had that time with God in a long time. And you wonder, why am I on this ark? Why this? Why this? Why this? Let me just ask you a question. Is he trying to get your attention? Is he trying to get you to wake up a little bit? God will not give you more than you can handle. He chooses the right people for the right task. No matter what you go through, and you will go through it sometime. Remember that God is faithful. The Bible says right there in that verse, God is faithful. And you know what? Just hang in there. Let that battle, let that trial learn from it. Teach you. You got to learn from it. Don't squander it. Let that trial, let that battle go ahead and teach you something that you may, so that you might be able to teach somebody else down the road. That might be another reason why God gave it to you. But whatever you do, don't quit. You keep on teaching that class. You keep on driving that bus. You keep on being faithful to that pew. You keep on being here every time the doors are open. You keep on raising them children for the Lord. You keep on being the Christian mama and the Christian daddy you know you ought to be. You just keep on keeping on through the trial. God will give you the grace. His grace is sufficient. He'll give you the grace through the trial. And just about the time where you may feel like, God, I can't do this anymore, God just might show up with an olive leaf. When Noah got the olive leaf, boy, I'm sure, I don't think he just, well, it's an olive leaf. Hey, honey, guess what? I sent the dove out. Oh, you know how I sent the raven out? Oh, you know, who knows where the raven is? You know how I sent the dove out the other time? Oh, you know, the dove came back empty, you know, didn't bring you in. You know, but the third time, guess what? This is what we got. Boy, you know what, honey? God is who he says he is. You know what, honey? God is good. You know what, honey? I know we don't understand. I know it stinks in here. I know we're just tired of this. I know these 370 days have been long. But you know what? God did what he promised. God did what he promised. And you know what? When they got off the ark, what did they do? We know what he did. Well, this just isn't fair. Finally, we get off this ark. Okay, animals, go. I just want my peace and quiet. You know what the Bible says he did? Built an altar. God, thank you. Boy, it'd be good for us just to get back in the thanking business again. I know we don't like trials. I don't like them. I know that we don't like the heartaches and the struggles, the different. I don't like them. But you know what? Instead of having a bad attitude towards the one that might be teaching you, trying to show you some things and help you recognize them again, or whatever the case may be. Instead of having a bad attitude towards them, why don't you get on your knees and say, okay, God, I don't know why I'm going through it, but I thank you for it. And God, you teach me. Now, I'll tell you something. Noah could teach a whole lot of people after the flood about what rain does, huh? Think about it. They'd never seen rain before. But when rain came, hey, you know what? There's going to be some puddles there because of this rain. Of course, God promised he'd never flood the earth again after that. But you know what? Noah went ahead, and I think he took his battles, he took his lessons, he took whatever God gave him, and he learned from it. Maybe about the time when he just didn't understand, you know what? God just showed up with an olive leaf. I know it's very simple, very, very practical message, kind of running around town tonight. But you know what? Instead of quitting, why don't you just go ahead and wait on God? And God will give you the grace that you need. Our Heavenly Father. God, I just took a very simple message. Some would just perhaps think this is a message you preach in a junior church. But God, I do believe there's probably someone here tonight that's just going through it. Maybe at a point where they just about had enough. Maybe frustrated. Maybe just maybe fit to be tied, so to speak. And I pray, dear God, that just because, just a simple little truth from a very familiar passage of Scripture, I pray, God, that we learn to wait on you. Sometimes we may not totally understand why it is that we're going through what we're going through. Maybe sin that put us there. Maybe that you're trying to teach us something. It may be that you're trying to get us to really focus our eyes upon you again. But whatever the reason is, I pray, dear God, that we'll deal with it, that we'll take it, that we'll learn from it so that we can teach somebody else. And as we are waiting under that load of circumstances, I pray, dear God, that you would go ahead and come by and show your grace as you did Noah. With an olive leaf or whatever the case may be. I pray, Lord, that you'd bless. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet. Maybe you're here tonight. God spoke to you. I know I spoke very simply, very practically tonight. But maybe, you know, I can't help but thinking that even a crowd this size tonight, some of you are bearing some burdens. Some of you are just going through it. Some of you, you know, it probably doesn't take much for you to go ahead and cry. That's pretty good indicator that, boy, you just got a lot of things going on. You know what? Instead of blaming God, blaming anybody else, or throwing a tantrum to anybody else, or whatever the case, why don't you just come? Say, God, I'm just going to remain faithful. Why don't you come? I dare you. I just ask you. Why don't you go ahead and say, God, I thank you for this burden, and whatever reason why I'm bearing it, help me to learn from it. I can't help but think maybe there's someone going through it tonight. If you are, I would urge you, why don't you just come talk to the Lord. Bring your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Our heads are bowed. Dear Jesus, bless this invitation in Jesus' name. You kids did a great job today. Your preacher's proud of you. Singing for the Lord, amen. I appreciate that. And your teenage girls did a great job. The choir, you all did a great job today. And I just appreciate your faithfulness and take whatever it is that God's given you. Mama, you're a mama. Daddy, you're a dad. That Sunday school ministry, that ministry, whatever it is that God's given, boy, I want to encourage you, just hang on tight to it. And go ahead and serve the Lord. And give him all you got. At the end, you're not going to regret it, amen? You will not regret it. Anyways, I preached enough. I just feel like keeping on preaching, amen? But I'm warm, so... You know, I'm about ready to keel over up here, but it's all right, I won't, all right? But anyways, and some of you, you're not even thinking of preaching about now. You said, yes, you're thinking about a half an hour or so from now, all right? Red Sox season starts, and, you know, I wonder how many people are going to be hanging around tonight, you know? But anyways, Mrs. Weeks, you need some help? Are you cleaning? Okay, that's all right. Shouldn't do that. I'll probably get to that later. But anyways, Brother Robles, before I get in any more trouble, come on up and close in prayer. Amen. Wednesday night, be right here in your place. Tuesday, teenagers, be in your place. Love to see you in youth group. And Brother Robles, close in prayer.
Let's bow our heads, amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for life and, Lord, the things that happen in life and, Father, the tribulations that come, for in them we learn, Lord, that you give us olive branches to let you know, let us know you're in control. Thank you, Lord, for the reprieve that you give us in the midst of our trials, Lord. And, Father, we can look to you and know that you, in it is our solution. Thank you that you give us, Lord, you never give us anything we won't be able to bear. And thank you for your strength, and thank you for your mighty hand that we see every week from day to day working in our lives. Thank you for the power that worketh in us. And now we pray, Lord, that you be with every person here, Lord. Dismiss us and once again gather us together under the preaching of your word that we may grow thereby. In Jesus' name, amen.